From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Japan's prime minister is calling it the biggest crisis his country has faced since the end of World War II. He's urging the country to unite following Friday's massive earthquake and tsunami. The government has sent in 100,000 troops to try to rescue survivors and bring aid to millions who have no water, power, or proper food. The massive quake has caused a partial meltdown of a nuclear reactor. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Tokyo that is Japan's first such incident.
National broadcaster NHK reported the Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency as saying that nuclear fuel at the Fukushima No. 1 nuclear plant suffered a partial meltdown. The agency says that some radioactive iodine and cesium were released from the plant after an explosion blew the roof off a building housing a reactor. Around 210,000 people have been evacuated from the area. Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Edano pledged that residents who wanted to could be screened for radiation. Edano told reporters this morning that another reactor at the Fukushima No. 1 plant was also in danger of a partial meltdown. He said seawater had been pumped in to cool that reactor and some radioactive vapors had been released into the atmosphere. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Tokyo.
The trouble at the nuclear reactors is prompting the Japanese government to impose rolling blackouts. In addition, Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Edano, speaking at a news conference through an interpreter, says the government is working hard to get food aid to quake victims in the Northeast.
We are trying to come up with various measures and methods so that we can deliver necessary food to the residents as quickly as possible.
The government has doubled the number of soldiers it's deployed to aid the rescue and recovery efforts. Libyan rebels are reportedly falling back from the oil town of Brega today after heavy bombardment by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. Libyan State TV says loyalists are now in control of Brega. As fighting rages, the Arab League says it will ask the UN Security Council to impose a no-fly zone over Libya. NPR Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson is in Cairo, where the League met this weekend.
Officials say it was a hard decision but a necessary one. Arab League Secretary General Amr Moussa spoke to journalists at a news conference following the meeting.
Well, concerning the no-fly zone, it has one goal, to protect the civilian population.
The Arab League cannot impose the no-fly zone itself, but its approval is necessary before the international community can act. The League is calling for the no-fly zone to be a temporary measure. Its members are also demanding there be no other foreign intervention in Libya or other member countries where protesters are seeking government change. In a related move, the League decided to open talks with the rebel council based in the eastern Libyan city of Benghazi. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
And you're listening to NPR News. Hundreds of residents in northern New Jersey are facing the prospect of more evacuations today because of rising floodwaters. Melon Sivri lives in Woodland Park. He says he's given up on trying to pump out the 4 feet of water in his garage from the flooding Passaic River.
There's no point to pump it out. The water is so high that there is nowhere to pump it out. I just have to wait for the river to go down.
Hundreds of people have already been evacuated because of rain-swollen rivers, creeks, and streams. Some have begun returning, but it may be a few more days for those in hard-hit areas of northern New Jersey. The mayor of Paterson says he expects some 1,500 residents will have to be evacuated today. Officials from Maryland to Maine are keeping an eye on water levels. Two top executives with the National Football League are reportedly promising to slash their salaries to $1 apiece during the lockout. NPR's Kirk Sigler has the latest on the labor dispute that's put this fall's NFL season in limbo.
The move is the latest twist in a drawn-out drama between the NFL and the players' union. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and the league's general counsel, Jeff Pasch, are making good on promises they made back in January to work for a buck if a work stoppage occurred. After the two sides couldn't reach an agreement, the players' union decertified, meaning the union becomes a trade association and players give up their collective bargaining rights. Almost immediately after that happened, a group of players filed a lawsuit seeking to stop the lockout. A court battle is expected to begin next week. In the meantime, several teams have already begun announcing furloughs and some pay cuts for employees as the impasse continues. Kirk Sigler, NPR News.
And I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News in Washington.